Right now, we're pleased to be joined by Todd Elliott. He was in town and had an opportunity to play at Interlock and Ann Hazeltine. Those two clubs have hosted majors in the past. Well, Mr. Elliott is on a quest to not only play some of the major championship venues here in the United States, but all the courses who have hosted majors over the years. Todd, a pleasure to visit with you.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed being up in Minnesota last weekend. We just had a wonderful time visiting that part of the United States, and just especially enjoyed the good weather. It's been so bad and rainy here in Arlington, Virginia, that definitely enjoyed the sunshine out there.
Yeah, you got in at the right time because we had a very rainy week here in the Twin Cities. But this is an extraordinary quest. First of all, Todd, how did he come up with the idea to go out and play all the courses in the United States that have hosted a major?
You know, I think it came, I kept getting the Golf Digest, and they'd always have the top 100 courses, the best in the state. And I saw some folks that, some quests of people playing all the Donald Ross courses. And that just inspired me to put a list together of the courses that have hosted a U.S. major and start playing, seeing which ones I could get to, and doing it as kind of a lifelong goal, because it combines a couple things that I enjoy, which is playing golf, obviously, and traveling and seeing different parts of our nation.
Yeah, and how many courses did you identify? I'm a lifelong golfer and fan of the sport, but I'm not exactly sure what the number is. How many courses here in the States have hosted a major?
There are 102, if wow. You include Augusta National. Which that'll be a tough one to get on,
right.
But they keep growing. You know, they've added a couple of courses coming up in the next couple of years that have never hosted before. So when I started, I think it was more like 98, and again, some new courses have come on the list since then.
Yeah, Chambers Bay a year ago for the United States Open is one that comes to mind.
Right, and Erin Hills up in
Wisconsin
is going to be next year hosting the U.S. Open.
Now, how many of these courses have you been able to play so far?
So Hazeltine, we played on Monday, and that was the 47th
wow.
that I have played. So I'm almost halfway to my goal. And my target was to do about 3 or 4 a year, and I'm 40, almost 48 now, and I thought by the time I turned 60, if I could get that done, that'd be quite of an accomplishment.
Now, what was your first on that list? I suppose in Virginia, did you get on Congressional, or what was the first?
Well, the first one was actually, we lived in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
We lived in Dallas when this started, and there's a municipal Cedar Crest Golf Club that used to be a private club back in the day, and on their logo they're the host of the 1927 PGA. And so I played that, and then I played a course down in San Antonio, Pecan Valley, who's also a public course. Although that now has been, I think, has been raised for housing or something. It's no longer around. But those two got me started down in Dallas.
Huh.
And then I think the reason what really kind of kickstarted is I. The first kind of major, what I consider a major course, is the Olympic Club out in San Francisco. We were going to go out on a business meeting, and a bunch of us, we said, hey, we have some extra time, we should go play some golf. And so I started looking at courses out there and saw that Olympic was, a really great course. And I thought, I wonder if we could get on there, not really knowing how exclusive it was.
Right.
But started looking on websites and that kind of thing, and I noticed a posting to somebody's article that a guy had written and said, the Lakes course has no water, and it's named for Lake Merced, which is across the road, and blah blah blah. So I sent him an email out of the blue and said, hey, I have a goal of playing every course that's ever hosted. Would you be interested in hosting me for it? And me and a buddy, and we were like, we'll never hear from him. And
right.
The next day, I get this email back, and his first word is, maybe. Tell me about yourself. And so that started a pen pal, internet pen pal exchange, probably for 18 months before I actually got, was out there, and he was available to play. out there at Olympic.
Yeah, and I remember running into Dave Mona, who I believe you played with at Interlochen, and he's the host of the Sports Huddle Sunday mornings here on CCO. And Dave's a great guy. And he was telling me, yeah, I've got a tee time later today, and I'm going to play with this guy. And I'm like, I've got to get this guy on the radio. And I suppose, Todd, that's been your route to get to some of these clubs because, you know, you just can't walk up to the pros shop at Interlochen and say, I'd like a tee time today.
Right, right. Well, I you know, there's a number of ways I get on these courses. And one of the first of all, I played a lot of the ones that I've played so far have been public.
Oh, sure.
Just because obviously it's public, so I can play. And there's quite a few that have hosted majors, you know, that have were private and are now public or were always public. And then there's charity events that are a great way to, you know, raise money for good charity, you know, good causes.
Oh, sure.
And you get to play some of these wonderful courses. So that's what started the whole Minnesota trip, is that we actually played in a charity event on Monday for the Ells Foundation for Autism, for Ernie Ells' foundation.
Oh, sure.
You know, to support autism. And so we were looking, we're flying in on Sunday, and I was looking for a course to play there. And I think I came across an old posting that the Monas had put out for an auction item. And that spurred me to contact him kind of again out of the blue. And he and his wife were just such great hosts. We had such a wonderful time at Interlochen on the last Sunday.
Yeah, Dave and Linda are hosts of a number of Good Neighbor Tours hosted by CCO. And I know people always talk, you know, Dave's just such a great, great guy.
Oh, yeah.
And what a wonderful course, Interlochen. And I've had the opportunity to play there a few times in my life. And it's just a thrill to stand where Bobby Jones hit his famous shot in the U.S. Open all those years ago. It's really a thrill.
Oh, and it is such a wonderful course.
Oh, yeah.
It's right up there with the best ones I've ever played. And I've played some big names, and it's one of the best ones I've played.
Yeah, the most recent major was the U.S. Women's Open, but yeah, it has been on the radar for a long, long time. It's wonderful. And Hazeltine, a newer golf course, has hosted a number of majors, including two United States Opens and two PGAs and a Ryder Cup coming up later this year. Hazeltine's a bear. That's a big, hard golf course.
It definitely was. The wind was blowing a lot more on Monday than it was on Sunday, and that definitely kept the scores high for sure.
Yeah, and you think about all the private clubs, and I'm sure you're thinking about, you know, the challenges is how do I get on a course like Marion, or how do I get on, you know, Oakmont is hosting the U.S. Open. I'm not sure if you've had an opportunity to play there yet. But Pebble Beach is a public course. Torrey Pines in San Diego is a public course. Now, it's not cheap to play at Pebble Beach, but you can make it time and play.
Yeah, well, actually, for my 40th birthday, my wife, we went out there to Pebble Beach to play it.
Oh, neat.
In fact, that's probably one of my most memorable holes. We got to number 7, which is that iconic, you know, par 3 going out to the ocean, and I was very fortunate, got a good shot on the green and birdied the hole. So, you know, that's what you always want to do when you get to some of those famous holes, is play well on them. So I really enjoyed that course.
Yeah, what a great story, Todd, and what a great goal or bucket list, if you will. You brought up Augusta National, hosts the Masters every year, and I know there are some Augusta members here in the Twin Cities, and they're scattered about the country. I suppose, though, you're trying to figure out a way, how am I ultimately going to get on maybe one of the toughest courses to get on anywhere in the world?
Absolutely, and really it's, you know, it's kind of daunting to think about because the you know, my network doesn't really have a lot of people that would be members. So,
right.
You know, certainly I'm always open for people to contact me, though, if they're interested.
Yeah, and I suppose that's one. Maybe as you get further along to your goal, maybe if you've checked 100 of the 102 off the list and you write that letter and say, I'm so very close, would you please allow me to complete my lifetime goal of playing in all the courses that have hosted a major. I'm sure you've kicked that around. Now, what do you keep as memorabilia? Do you take some photos? Do you take a scorecard? What do you have a scrapbook?
I always, I always get a logo golf ball, and I have a display case in my office that has all the courses that I've played, and I definitely keep my scorecard as well. One of the things that I really enjoy about this goal is, especially playing the courses that are still kind of in the rota, when they play, I get my cards out and go, oh yeah, I got a six on that hole. No wonder.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's really fun. In fact, this year, my son and I are just so excited about the Ryder Cup because, you know, having played Hazeltine,
right,
you know, already, and we actually ended up playing it in the sequence that they're going to play the Ryder Cup, which is different from the front nine, back nine. They're actually mixing them up a little bit.
Sure. We did that on a media day. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. And so when we actually get to, you know, see them on TV and, you know, where their shots are and what they're trying to do and what some of those greens look like and the challenges of that course, it'll just bring it to life so much better.
Yeah. Now, Todd, do you have any more on your list here in 2016?
Well, actually, next week I'm playing up in New York City at the Siwanoy Country Club, and that happens to have the honor of being the host of the very first PGA Championship.
Oh, neat.
So, yeah, 1916, they hosted it, and I'm playing there. And then later this summer, we're hoping to get on a couple more. I usually try to do, like I said, 3 or 4 a year. Sometimes that's only 2. Sometimes I'll get to 5. But, you know, we'll see what we get to. But I'm hoping by the end of this year I'll be up to 50.
Well, you've been able to check off a couple of good ones, a couple of great ones with Interlaken and Hazeltine for sure.
Well, another kind of fun time, we did play Oakmont right before the U.S.
Wow.
Open when Cabrera won. I think it was 2007. And I remember on the long par 3 on the front, I think it's number 8, I used my 3-wood, I think, to try to get on. And they had already started building the stands, but they hadn't finished. And so I got free relief. From my ball went in where the stand was, and so I got free relief from that stand. And so when the U.S. Open, the 6 weeks later, when the television was on that hole, like, oh yeah, that's where I hit my ball. I remember that.
Right, that is outstanding. Now, Todd, have you been turned down yet? Have you tried to get on a course where you just have heard crickets, so to speak?
Well, yeah. I mean, I absolutely have. Another way that I have gotten on is just by calling the club pro or writing them a letter or an email and just kind of giving them my goal. There have been quite a few that I haven't heard any response. And then some, when I'll call, they'll say, you know, love your goal, love to help you, but you know, we have a policy that you have to have a member to be able to play. And so, you know, that obviously I have to look at other routes to get on those courses.
Yeah, it is outstanding, Todd. Really a neat story. I see a book. Have you thought about that part of it?
You know, I haven't really thought about a book. It's just kind of it started as like a little personal goal, and the more I've talked to folks about it, the you know, people get really excited about it and interested in this quest. So who knows? I think I might try to start blogging about it, and then you know. Maybe over the years, turn it into a book.
Well, and the thing is, Todd, it's all about raising your profile, continue to do media appearances, and then ultimately you'll show up on the radar of one of those guys to members who will say, I want to help this guy finish this thing. And maybe you can finish the quest at Augusta.
That would be a dream come true.
Oh, that is really neat, Todd. Now you live in Virginia. You talked about your son. Do you play a lot together?
We do. You know, it's kind of every dad's dream every golfing dad's dream that their kids will start playing. And sure. I'm fortunate enough that both of my boys have started to pick it up. Even my daughter is thinking about you know, getting out there and hitting the links. So it turns you know what. You know, it turns golf into family time, which is a wonderful, you know, wonderful time to be together.
Yeah, outstanding. Well, Todd, I'm glad you had a great visit to Minnesota, and Like I say, a couple of real gems in Interlochen and Hazeltine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right,
Absolutely.
Todd. Well, we'll maybe check back in down the road and see how your quest continues. I'm rooting for
you. Yeah, that sounds good. I still have a couple more courses up in Minnesota, so I may be back in the next year or two.
Outstanding. Thanks a lot, Todd.
All right. Thank you.
There he is, Todd Elliott. He is on a quest to play every course that has hosted a major here in the United States, and he was in the Twin Cities, played Interlochen last Sunday with our own Dave Mona, and then, of course, played a charity event out at Hazeltine, host of the Ryder Cup later this year. Great stuff.